Blog Talk Radio.
Voyage to the bottom of the barrel here on Erie House Radio. Good evening and welcome. I'm Dale Kay, the technologically challenged host from Book Show, here along with...
Well, Admiral, I'm Dave Binkley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One. And we're along here. Well, I'm, you know, CW may be along today, maybe not. Yep. Yeah, it's this terrible thing called having to work to pay the bills. You know, it's a crummy thing in life, but it happens to most of us.
Darn those obligations. I can't wait till I can retire. I'm going to be a while yet. Boy, when I do, I'm going to have some fun. I will be able to spend a lot more time on cool stuff like this, like Erie House Radio.
Ooh.
And other fun things. I haven't hosted a movie in God knows how long. I'm way overdue for one.
Yep, I'm lucky. I've got three done in the last 3 months, and... I need to make a phone call just to see what else is going on there.
Dude, you're a machine.
It's been a while since I've been able to crank them out like that, but
you're a machine. Between
it's been fun.
Spaceship One and Weirdness Really Bad and that little Erie House Radio thing. You're busy.
Yeah, and this job that's more than full time. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's that too. Yeah, we know how
slows
you feel.
Slows one
CW.
Down a bit.
We know how you feel. We'd be having a lot more fun if we didn't have to work for a living, too. So.
Yep, that is there. But, yes, we're going.
We understand.
We're going down deep tonight, Dale. Real deep tonight. You know, I did post it in the chat, but, you know, I one time in my life, I thought I was going to be a deep sea diver, but I realized I couldn't hold my nose that long.
Yep. And I am prepared tonight. I wore my truss. For the ruptures of the deep.
Raptures. Yes.
You know, I wanted to talk
to my grandfather did wear a truss. He had one of those dang metal ones that wrapped around him and stuff that to hold his hernia in place. So because my father had a weak hernia, had several hernia operations, and my brother, I guess, actually inherited that weak hernia as well.
Not good.
I just inherited my dad's stomach, that's all.
Yeah, I wonder who my dad was. Anyway. Well, no, I know who my adoptive father was, but the blood father, no, don't even know, nationality, nothing. Don't got a name, don't got nothing. Well, too bad, dude, you lose.
That's okay.
What do you get for
hitting
it?
We still love
you,
Dale. Even though you may be a mongrel, we still love you.
If you only could see me scratching myself with my foot.
Did you ever go treasure searching when you were little? Did you ever go treasure searching when you were little? You had the little map.
Absolutely.
Of course.
I think boys from our era, that was a cool thing to do, to go searching
for
treasure.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have the internet, and so, you know, somebody made up a map, or you made one up yourself. You follow this map to go find the treasure. That's just one of the things. It was a thing called imagination. And,
yes. We had this legendary in our woods, Hobo Joe, supposedly. He was rumored to do all kinds of things, including having treasure, and it turned out his treasure were like empty wine bottles. But
it was a treasure to him when they were
exactly. Full. Exactly. But it was fun to pretend when you were a kid, whether it was a pirate adventure, whether it was a space adventure or something, a war, soldier type thing, cowboys, and treasure seeking big time. I remember my son used to write stories about finding gold when he was real little.
You said the pirate reminded me of a thing. There was a swamp out there behind one of our city parks. Mm-hmm. And Doug Ronish and I went and we made this little raft that we had out there. You don't know what's in these swamps, you know? You don't know. And yet, we made this stupid little raft. We got out, and of course, it completely fell apart.
Oh, no.
We were soaked and had to go home all soaked, you know. Just
mucky, black water. Oh.
But we used our bicycle to get around everywhere. And I was down in Amish country today, and I couldn't believe all the bikes. And then when I heard one go by, it goes, zzz, I said, oh, no wonder I see so many bikes. They're all motorized bikes.
Cheaters.
Hey, if I had that ability back then or even now, that's what I would be doing. Yeah.
They make some pretty cool-looking motorized bikes.
Yeah, they do.
You know what I mean? You do have to pedal, but there's assistance of some electric power, I guess. And there's some pretty cool, like, spacey-looking ones. I wouldn't mind one of those. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
When we go down to one car, because we may at some point, then I'd like to have a small scooter, motorcycle, trike. Not tricycle.
Yeah.
I mean, like a
you mean
and
a
I don't mean
trike.
The kind with two wheels in the front. I hate those things.
Oh, that'd be the one I'd go for, man.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like those?
Yeah. Yeah. Why? Because it's opposite of everything else, and I'm opposite of everything else pretty much.
Well,
so,
that's
yeah.
true. You're weird, hence weirdness, really bad movie.
No,
but
I do. I like them with it. I think they're a little bit more stable than the two in the back and the one up front.
Well, you're the good kind of weird.
Some days, my wife would beg to differ from you other days.
there's a bad kind of weird, but you're the good kind of weird. You're not the kind of weird that lands someone in prison.
Not usually.
Not usually. Technologically challenged and also mechanically challenged. Phones flying all over the place, gang. But we're going to bring this show to you one way or another.
Yeah, we got a mystery theater for you tonight.
We do.
We do. It's a very macabre tale.
Macabre? You knew I was going to say that.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
Listen to E.G. Marshall say it at the end of the night. Now, are you going to tell me that E.G. Marshall is wrong? Are you going to tell me that?
Macabre.
Are you going to tell me that E.G. Marshall is wrong? A guy that let like 10,000 bugs crawl all through his body. You're going to tell me from Creepshow, you're going to tell me that he was wrong?
I would not say that E.G. Marshall is wrong. Macabre.
Okay. Well, you're just saying.
There's just no winning with this guy, I'll tell you. All right, we should probably jump right into our feature. Raptors of the Deep. You know, I wanted to talk to Gar more about that since he had some naval and scuba experience.
Yes.
About the Raptors of the Deep. Let's learn more from this episode of CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yes. And it is episode number 880, and it comes to us from August 16th of 1978.
First in news, we're CBS, News Radio 78, WBBM, Chicago.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Above our heads, a myriad of airplanes trace their contrail patterns in the sky. Beyond them and the stratosphere, countless satellites ride their fixed orbits. We have conquered the air. We are reaching towards space. But on a globe, four-fifths of which is covered by water, beneath the surface of the restless sea, lies the real unknown. This story will take us there.
I've made up my mind, Steve. It's up to you to decide.
What's to decide? Count me in, Mr. Hunter.
That's what I need to hear. Oh, one more thing. The name is J.C. Partners can't be strangers.
We live through this one, we won't be. Anything this big, one way or another, none of us will ever be quite the same.
Our mystery drama, Raptures of the Deep, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Michael Tolan.
I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Grease stain, oil stain, mud stain, and chocolate. When you want to talk stain out, shout it out.
Now you can prove shout to mom's best friend. Before washing, just spray it on a tough stain. Wait a few seconds. Turn over the fabric and see how shout penetrates right through to the other side.
That's right. Shout saturates, really penetrates. It's almost like spraying both sides of the stain at the same time.
So when you want a tough stain out, shout it out.
I like pickles, but they don't like me.
Send your stomach some Digel.
I like pizza, but it doesn't like me.
Send your stomach some Digel.
Digel's special combination of antacid and anti-gas ingredients gives you fast, gentle relief from acid indigestion, heartburn, and gas in just minutes.
I like hot dogs, but they don't like me.
Send your stomach some Digel.
For occasional use, only as directed.
With comfortable feelings for those beautiful moments in life.
At Witts Furniture.
There's a feeling that surrounds you when you're proud of your fine home. A reflection of the way you live and the people you have known. And when you need a friend to help you choose the very best, we can give you years.
If it's right for you, it's right at Wicks Furniture.
Wicks Furniture will brighten your home for those beautiful moments in life.
There's a vast difference between the mysteries of the sea and those of the infinite space beyond the envelope of air that surrounds us. In space, man must cover vast distances by machine to delve into the unknown. Under the sea, machines can travel and observe, but there is so much terrain, so much life, and movement is so limited that eventually only man himself, unencumbered, is the ultimate explorer. The diver, and in particular, that special breed of men, the scuba divers.
Hey, Cobb, you old son of a gun, the Marines have landed.
Get your butt off that helicopter and report for duty. Where's your gear?
Johnny, the pilot's going to dig it out for me. It's stowed in the tail.
There's no time. This is a big one. You can dig out your own gear. I'll help you with it. I got a car waiting, and I'm driving you straight to the Pandora.
The what?
Pandora. That's the name of J. Calvin Hunter's ship.
Ship?
You can decide if you want to call her a boat when you see her. By me, the Pandora's a ship.
The dame who opened up the box and let all hell loose.
That's her.
Well, why would he want to call his yacht that?
Better ask him.
I don't know. It smells like trouble.
When have you and me ever got into anything else? This one. We'll never forget.
The name is Steve Carr, but it didn't start out that way. The real name, the ethnic one, is Stephanos Karalis. Both my mom and dad are from Greece, and I still speak Greek as well as I do English. Me and Cobb Straker were in the Navy together, frogmen. And after we got out, we went into the salvage business. What I mean is, we handled a lot of jobs, but only on the number one jobs did we work together. Matter of fact, we hadn't seen each other in 6 months. I'd been working on some offshore oil rigs around Galveston, while Cobb had been keeping a finger on the pulse of what we really care about, buried treasure. He stayed with the firm's base in Freeport, Bahamas. We had a lot to catch up on in the car.
So Galveston worked out?
Yeah, finally. What happened to your cake?
Well, we found the Estrelita okay, in about 40 fathoms.
And?
Just the ribs, and pretty well broken up. The keel was still there, and enough of a stern to identify her. Two cannons, one eaten away so badly it was scarcely worth raising. The other in fair condition.
But the treasure?
Who knows, buddy boy? You fish around the Bahamas, the Caribbean. A lot of folks might have been there first.
Or storms, drifting tides, or maybe she didn't have gold aboard in the first place.
Well, the hazards of our business.
So tell me about this prize pigeon.
J. Calvin Hunter? No.
Why not?
Because I want you to set up and listen to him yourself. This could be big, Steve. Really big. Or just so much hogwash. I want to let you judge that for yourself.
We hadn't far to go to the wharf where the Pandora was moored. Cobb was right. This was a ship in every sense of the word. She was almost 200 feet overall, beamy, and for sure well over 2,000 tons. One glance at her silhouette told me she had every kind of device to handle deep diving and the equipment to go with it. I felt a tingling anticipation. I could sniff an explosive future. We parked the wagon and unloaded my gear. Mr. Hunter was waiting for us on the fantail. He was taller even than Cobb, but thin, all whipcord and steel. He had eyes like bullets that shot out from under heavy, dark eyebrows.
You made good time.
This is Steve Carr, Mr. Hunter.
He's almost as big as you are, Cobb.
Not quite, sir. How do you do?
Mm-hmm. Welcome aboard the Pandora, sir. Sit down. Well, now, did Cobb brief you on what all this is about?
No, sir. He wanted to let you tell me yourself.
So you could make up your mind whether or not I was a nut or not,
I didn't say that, sir.
No, I did. And I'll lay you 100-1. Cobb did also.
It's a beautiful ship, Mr. Hunter.
Well, it ought to be. It cost enough. But it's going to pay for itself one of these days.
Why do you call it the Pandora?
Because once I decided to have her rebuilt, I really opened up a can of worms. Cost me 10 times the original estimate before it was finished. A regular Pandora's box of troubles let loose. I was beginning to think she was jinxed.
Then why saddle her with the name?
It suited my whim. Besides, after Pandora opened the box, all the evils and bad luck were let loose on the world. Do you know the one thing that was left?
No, sir.
Hope, according to some versions of the legend. So, that's good enough for me. We're going to need a lot of it where we're going.
Just where is that, sir?
I'll make it short and sweet. In 1663, April of that year, the Spanish sent out a convoy guarded by their heavier ships of war bound for Spain. While it was carrying some valuable cargo, it was merely a decoy, as all the supposed merchant ships were heavily armed.
To decoy the British into attacking?
Right.
A decoy for what?
First off, to try to lure enough British and French pirateers into destruction and clear the seas.
And second, to draw away attention from a real prize.
Right, Steve. The Alhambra. A colossus of a merchant ship that they had built, which was loaded to the waterline with gold, silver, and precious jewels. The value, even then, was in the millions. Today, it could at least run to $500 million, perhaps more.
They sent her out alone?
No. She was convoyed by 2 smaller men of war, and she took a different route.
But either the British and French weren't fooled, or enough of them were smart enough to smell a rat.
No, they were fooled, most of them. But not 3 heavily gunned British privateers who were lying in wait for them. The weather was lucky for the British. They came out of a fog bank and sank the first man of war without taking a broadside in return. Then they turned their attention to the second, and with a bit more trouble, sank her. But when they turned to take their prize, they had a blow.
She'd slipped away in the fog?
No. She was too big and lumbering to elude them. So instead, the captain, following his sealed orders, commanded everyone into the boats and lit a fuse to gunpowder charges that had been set for just such an eventuality.
He blew his ship out of the water?
Not quite. He blew the keel and half the bottom out of her, and she foundered and sank like a stone.
Huh. Right off the coast here somewhere.
That's my secret. I have a lot of them. Because I have to be careful, gentlemen. My captain, for example, has his coordinates. He knows where to sail, but not why. You boys know why, but not where. And nobody but us three knows what I'm after.
How do you know all this, Mr. Hunter?
Money.
Beg pardon?
It buys a lot of information. A little here, a little there. Till finally, I could put it all together.
But how can you be sure the information is legit?
The captain of one of the British ships was one of my more colorful ancestors. He kept a very full and detailed log, which has been preserved as a family curiosity for the 10 generations since it was written.
You know where the ship went down.
Exactly.
300 years ago. And at what depth?
That I don't know. With luck, it could be one side or the other of the trough.
Which trough?
That would be the start of telling, wouldn't it? Until I know you're committed.
Well, what do you say, buddy? Heard enough?
No. How do we split?
And that's simple. Since I'm paying you your regular salvage rates, I carry all the financial risks. But I'm not greedy. 60% for me. You split the other 40 as you will. If there's anything to split.
That's very generous, Mr. Hunter.
Well, it's worth it for the very best. Ah, the tide is turning. We should sail with it, if we can. Have you heard enough to decide?
Well, I've made up my mind.
Up to you, Steve. What's to decide? Count me in, Mr. Hunter.
That's all I need to hear. Oh, one more thing. The name is J.C. Partners can't be strangers.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah?
You know where we are?
Well, I can look at the sun. I don't have instruments. Roughly the eastern Atlantic. Not too far south.
Yeah, but where are we headed?
The man told you. His secret.
We're the ones have to dive.
You said it.
How deep?
You mean free or with heavy equipment?
If we're going to explore, you know it has to be free.
How deep can you go? What's the record?
400-something feet?
You can't work there. What's the problem?
Like, right now, I think we're over the eastern trough. What, 4,000 meters, maybe 3 miles. You want to dive that?
He's got that little bathysphere we're lugging.
That's for observation, a gimmick. You can't salvage anything with that. You know what I'm thinking he's counting on?
The Atlantic Ridge?
Check. The Azores, the Canary Islands, something like that where the ocean bottom is within reach.
Wherever that is. Maybe we'll turn up the lost continent of Atlantis or something. Who knows?
Well, it's worth a whirl.
At these prices, any day. What have we got to lose?
Hold it.
What's that?
They cut the engines.
We had dropped anchor in 25 fathoms. That's a long way down. 6 feet to a fathom, 150 feet. Everyone was out on deck when we got there. It was just at sunrise, maybe 4:20 in the morning. J.C. signaled us. He wanted us down in his quarters. There was coffee there, and a large chart on a table marked out in a grid. He pointed to a dot in the middle.
This is our position right here. You and Cobb will take sectors and scout them. We'll use marker buoys to indicate what has been searched. Blue. With the red one, in case we turn up what we're looking for. Now, when do we start?
How about this morning?
Just what I wanted to hear. Suit up. Let's get going.
You going over with us, J.C.?
No. I'm a little old for these depths.
Well, maybe we all are.
Now, look. We have a decompression chamber. I want you to take the least amount of time on the bottom that's safe. If it's too deep, we'll helmet you and put you on the air compressors.
It's deep, all right.
How long will you be down?
Oh, something like an hour and a half, figuring we spend 30 minutes maximum at 160 feet odds.
Well, it'll take 45 minutes staging out on the way up to beat the bends.
Okay, don't push anything. We've got all the time and most of the money in the world. I have a syndicate backing me. Now, be careful.
Our middle names. Ready to go, Cobb? I went off a ladder from the scuppers and hit the water. I went down fast because I was heavily weighted. And going this deep, you don't want to waste time. I used the knotted guideline to help pull me down. The line was 175 feet long. It didn't reach all the way to the bottom. I stopped to consider what to do now. And then I saw her for the first time. The damnedest sight I ever saw. The sight that was to change my whole life.
What does a young man see in the ocean at nearly 30 fathoms deep that will change his life?
A goat?
And whatever it was, what does the term her mean? A female of some species? Or a female of the species? A woman?
And if so, what kind of woman in the depths of the ocean? I'll return shortly with Act Two.
The wife of Sir Reginald Moore. Born to bed that Sir Reggie abhors. Cause when I hit the sack, my back's out of whack, and I feel like I sleep on the floor.
When a mattress is only right for a woman, it's not always right for a man. But the Posture Bond mattress by King Coil is built for a man. Firm and durable, with exclusive bonded construction and edges that won't sag. Right for a man, right for a woman, year after year, King Coil.
Sounded a lot like Barbara Feldon.
Did a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, Dale, I have... from Ravishly.com, three true tales of tremendously sunken treasure. These are supposedly completely true. I'll give you one right here. The Nantucket passenger ship. We all know about the White Star Line's epic screw-up with the Titanic, but it turns out the ship company had a trial run in failure 3 years before with another, quote, unsinkable vessel, unquote. Their RMS Republic was down off Nantucket's coast after it was struck by another ship in 1909. Most passengers made it off safely, but their cargo sunk with the ship. Legend and conspiratorial website has it that $3 million worth of gold coins were on board. In addition to the moneyed passengers, jewels, and other luxuries. Rounding out the success of the 1980s, the ship was found in 1981, and although there have been several recovery efforts, so far, no money has turned up. Three found vessels, three possibilities of more riches not yet uncovered. So there we go. That's the first one I'm giving you here, was another of the White Star unsinkable ships that went down.
Yep. Nice going, White Star. You're losing a little bit of your credibility, your street cred.
it's like sending a priest on the love boat, you know?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow.
Just keep him away from the cabin boys, that's all. Okay. I didn't say that.
Oh, there we go.
Did not say that.
Oh.
CW would get after me for that one, I'm sure.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. Let's pretend it didn't happen.
Want me to act like a Catholic church, do you know, huh?
That's right.
Oh, well. I didn't say
yes,
that.
Yes, it was all a bad dream.
It was a bad dream.
All a bad dream.
So, yep. Yeah. So we got for the first one. We'll get another one in our next break.
Yes. More tales of, like, the Oak Island thing, you know? Didn't they finally solve that, I think? The mystery of Oak Island? They had a whole TV show on the History Channel.
Well, I don't know.
Buried treasure.
Buried treasure.
Treasure.
Well, there's always tales of buried treasure with all the pirates and the profiteers, shall we say. Those that considered themselves not pirates, but profiteers. And they, you know, because profiteers also, not only did they just attack other ships, they also were smugglers. So that's why they weren't pirates, because they weren't always, they didn't get all their funds from just stealing from everybody else. They also smuggled in things they weren't supposed to, and smuggled
contraband.
Out they weren't supposed to. Contraband. Yeah.
Yep. Those naughty pirates.
Yep. Always finishing last in their division. Oh, yeah. Wait, that's a different pirate. That's the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pirates.
Well, and then the Washington Senators. First in war, first in peace, and last in the American League. The old Washington Senators.
Yeah, one of them became the Seattle Pilots. The next one became the what ended up being the Texas Rangers. They went on to be, they went from the Boston Braves to Milwaukee Braves on to the Texas Rangers.
Yep.
That's how that one went.
A lot of baseball history. We even have that for you here on Erie House. How about that?
Yes.
You never know what you're going to learn around here.
Yep. And you never know if it's true or not.
That's right.
True, too. But my last story was supposedly a true story.
I believe we'll have another
true story after the part two of the Radio Mystery Theater.
While Steve Carr has encountered whatever strange phenomenon has swum into his view far beneath the surface, his partner Cobb Straker has surfaced unexpectedly and now is being helped back aboard the ship. His relatively sudden reappearance has been a surprise to everyone aboard, and J.C. Hunter is the first to lend him a helping hand, reaching to take his fins as he shucks them in order to climb the ladder back aboard.
You all right?
Sure. I came up because there's no point to the dive.
What do you mean? Adams, take Mr. Straker's equipment. Help him out of the tanks.
I don't know what your anchor hook snagged, but it must be some kind of a hill or mountain.
What do you mean?
Well, we've got 175 feet out of weighted guidelines, but mine at least still don't reach bottom. Once I got to the end of the line, I chickened out. I wasn't going any deeper on my own. And what about Steve?
He's still down there.
Well, maybe he's lucky. He hit a slope or something. I'll catch my second wind till he comes up. Maybe we can replot this whole dive better.
How long will he be?
Well, any minute now, unless he narked out.
He what?
Nitrogen narcosis. Raptures of the deep. A sort of deep sea drunk. Complete euphoria, and you lose all track of time. He went down before me. Where the devil is he?
Maybe you'd better go down after him.
Well, if he doesn't break water in the next couple of minutes, I sure as soon will.
Oh, there he is.
Well, where you been, Jerkola? What do you want to do, give us all the hives? You all right?
Just cutting it. You want to gas me aboard, Cobb?
Cobb. Did you go all the way down?
Right to the end of the line.
See anything?
No. I just knew that any further and I was out of my depth.
You didn't see her.
Who?
The girl. In the sort of flowing robes. She looked like an anemone, sort of.
Well, maybe that's what you saw.
Oh, no. This was no anemone. A sea animal, maybe. But if she was the closest thing to the girl I dream about. And if that's where she lives, then, man, let me live there, too.
You know what I think, Steve? I think you were narked.
No, no way, Cobb. My head was as clear as a bell. I'm going to tell you something right now, partner. I don't care about treasure ships. We stumbled on something far more special. If I can find her again. And right now, I'm going over to see if I can. They couldn't talk me out of it. I asked for and got a longer guideline. 75 more feet took it to 250. Cobb was fit to be tied.
I still think you're crazy, Steve. I'm going down with you.
Oh, no, I want you up top on the line for signal so I know I'm safe.
What's the big deal, 250 feet? Trying to set a record?
Nowhere near it, and you know it. Who's the guy dived something near 400 breathing air?
Some Italian, and they fished him up unconscious.
I'm going nowhere near that. Now, wish me luck, buddy, because here I go.
Now, wait a minute.
I went down the guideline. Hand over hand, like a circus flyer climbs to the trapeze platform. I wanted every minute I could have on the bottom, if I ever got there. Or wherever I ran into her again, if I ever did. But outside of the beam from my torch, everything was as black as being locked in a closet.
Easy, Cobb.
Last signal he gave me was at 225. Fruithead, it's too deep for free diving.
Signal him to come up.
Well, what do you think I've been doing? Hold it. He just reached the end of the line. Well, at least he ain't going no further.
I don't know how long I hung there, but at last I gave up. It was too dark to think of leaving the line, not without some ground underneath to read. I signaled I was on my way up. But before I could even start, they swam into the range of my light. I never saw anything like that. Man-shaped. Only they were scaled all over like fish. Not only did they wear foot fins, but their hands were the same. Their heads looked something like birds, with a sort of beak and the face scaly, too. There were too many to count. They swam as swiftly as dolphins. And in back of them was the girl. The girl I'd seen before. In the flowing robe and the swirling hair. I had time only to send an urgent signal up the line before they swarmed over me.
What is it, Cobb?
I don't know. Alarm signal. Something's wrong. I'm going over and down there. Stand by the line. Keep your hand on it. One jerk means everything's Jake. Two steady jerks, repeated, means we're on our way up by stages. Three sharp jerks, repeated or not, means you better have the decompression tank ready when we pop out like corks. You got it?
I have it. And what do you suppose he's running to down there?
J.C., there are so many mysteries in the black beneath that green cover. Who could even attempt to guess?
Two of the scaly porpoise things grabbed me by the arms and tore me away from the line. They were incredibly powerful, and I was helpless to resist. They started on a plunge deeper into the ocean on the command of one of them who seemed to be in charge. It was then my guardian angel acted, stopping them imperiously. Suddenly, in my confused state, I realized they were speaking to each other quite freely. I could hear the sound of their voices and the words. But even more unbelievable, I could half understand them. They were speaking a strange, old-fashioned kind of Greek.
No, Stanislaus, you cannot take him deeper.
He has invaded our territory. He must be brought to Minocles. These are my orders.
Not as he is. He cannot stand the pressures. We must have an air tank.
It will meet us on the way.
I hope it's not too late. I don't think he has much air left.
He'll manage. He'll have to.
Couldn't we wait for the tank? I tell you, he may die.
Let him. He is the enemy. If we can take them alive, very well. If dead, what's the difference?
At least let me escort him. I order you, let him go. He is my prisoner.
I was in a daze, my mind suspended in shock as my body tried to take these huge depths. How was it possible these strange entities could speak to each other freely? Then I thought of fish, and more than that, dolphins and whales who communicate without problem. I wanted to pull the mouthpiece out and try to speak myself, but I knew I was not adapted for that. But most of all, I was amazed that by the accident of birth, I had the ability to understand these creatures and the arcane Greek that they spoke. The only only terror was that I could tell the air in my tanks was running out.
What happened, Cobb?
Search me. He's gone. There's no sign of him.
Gone where?
I don't know. Narked, I guess. Raptures of the deep. We've got to fight it all the time we go deep enough.
Oh, you think we've lost him?
No, not in my book. I wouldn't have come up except I ran out of air. Get me in the tank. Decompress me. I came up too fast, but I'm going down again. First chance I get.
I don't want to lose you too, Cobb.
We haven't lost anyone. My buddy Steve is down there. All he needs is help.
We were going deeper and deeper, and I could feel the terrible pressure of the water. I wanted to scream out my protest to the lovely woman who swam, if that's what we were doing, beside me. But to relinquish my mouthpiece would have meant instant drowning, which suddenly I faced. With the slightest of gurgles, my tanks were exhausted, and I spat out the mouthpiece and tried to say help. It was as if my word had been articulated, for in a moment her mouth was on mine, and she was breathing pure oxygen into my lungs. And in that moment, I saw some of the fish people swimming up towards me with a cylindrical tank just before I blacked out. When I came to, I was lying on a kind of couch on the inside of the tank, and beside me was the girl, woman, the apparition or whatever she was. The tank was transparent, and outside, like the men at the oars of some ancient slave ship, I could see we were being propelled by the fish things. I took a deep breath. A breath of delirious satisfaction and gratefulness. Whatever was ahead of me, at least I was breathing air again. As I did so, she opened her eyes and looked into mine.
You are all right.
I guess so.
You can breathe, or shall we adjust the pressure?
No. No, it's fine, just fine. Who are you?
I am a halfway and in group one. My name is Ariadne. And yours?
The name is Steve. Steve Carr.
Steve Carr. It is a strange name, and you are a stranger. Yet you speak our language.
Oh, not quite. It's close to my family tongue. You see, my real name is Stephanos Karalis. I'm Greek.
Ah, Greek. I have heard legends of them. They are a people who borrowed our language.
Beg pardon?
They came in ships, so the great book says. But we drove them off and sank them in the sea. But some, it is recorded, escaped. And they stole our language and our culture.
What culture?
The one you are being brought home to. Oh, how I hope you can survive.
Don't worry, I'll make the attempt. But what am I going to survive to enjoy?
You do not like me.
Lady, that's beside the point at the moment. Where the devil are you taking me?
To my home. And the home of my fathers. To my country. To Atlantis.
One of the world's prime mysteries. Is it possible that here is the answer to that mythical island of Atlantis that was, in ancient times, believed to have existed in the Atlantic Ocean? Could someone in our modern times actually have found his way to that fabled land? I shall return shortly with Act 3.
ABC Television takes the next step in network news. Our anchor people are closer to the news. From Washington, Frank Reynolds.
The president today proposed to spend...
From Chicago, Max Robinson.
Across the country, hundreds of...
From London, Peter Jennings.
He's overseas tonight in Lebanon.
Plus special reports from Barbara Walters.
President Carter leads for the economic...
And illuminating commentary from Howard K. Smith.
I would not want to see...
That world news tonight. There is no substitute for being there. Weeknights on ABC TV. Check local listings for time and channel.
Indonesia, Colombia, Vietnam,
Hope was here.
Peru, Tunisia, Egypt, Ecuador.
The doctors and medical support people from Project Hope share their knowledge.
When
they move on, the knowledge remains. Hope remains.
The United States, Brazil,
20 years, a generation of hope.
Grenada, Barbados, Guatemala.
Give to Project Hope. A Washington, D.C., 2007.
Delta is ready when you are, when you are. Delta is ready to fly, to fly.
If you're a nonstop person like me, you like nonstop music, nonstop dancing, and nonstop flying. And that's why Delta's your airline, because it fits your nonstop lifestyle. Take Atlanta. Delta has more nonstops than any other airline, 8 round the clock. And Delta flies a wide ride tri-star to Atlanta every afternoon. You'll like Delta's Super Saver fares, too. Night coach as low as $78 round trip to Atlanta, with some restrictions. See your travel agent or call Delta, the nonstop airline for nonstop people like you.
This is WBBM Chicago.
Stop plummet to your death if you run out of fuel.
Airline that ran out of gas.
Almost Airlines. Almost ready for you. Almost on time. Almost Airlines.
We almost got there.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Hi. Oh, that would be awful.
That's one of my regular segments on the Weirdness Really Bad Movie is Almost Airlines.
Almost.
All right.
I like that.
Well, actually, I started writing this for Holly. She is a third generation pilot, and she has done everything in the airline industry, but be steward, stewardess, host, whatever they call them today. She's done everything from the baggage to checking in people to pilot to training
no
pilots, all kinds of things. No.
Well,
I'm
not impressed.
She's not the one to do it. Oh, okay. All right. Terrible. On to our next story from ravishly.com.
Damn it, I'm kidding.
Mother Nature struck again when a hurricane downed the SS Central America off the coast of North Carolina.
Ooh.
In 1857, 425 people drowned, but more to the point, 21 tons of gold valued at $2 million at the time. Hey, Gar, get your calculator out. Sank to the ocean floor. Apparently, the 1980s were a time to hunt for treasure because in 1988, Tommy Thompson and his crew found the ship. Thompson sold the gold for around $60 million. Then in 2012, he disappeared, supposedly out at sea, amid lawsuits over rightful ownership of said precious metal. But rumor has it that no one has been able to retrieve much of the gold from the ship, and it still lies beneath. In the infamous words of the Pet Shop Boys, if you've got the inclination, I've got the crime. Okay.
There you go. Ooh. So perhaps there's money off the coast of South Carolina.
And I can understand with that much money involved, I would probably try to sue to get my portion, you know? I had nothing to do with it. I had nothing to do with it in 1988, but I would sue to get my portion of that gold.
Yes. Absolutely. Go for it.
So, that was, you know, I love those jingle commercials from the 70s and 80s, Dale. I miss them today. They just don't do the jingles anymore.
That's one of the best things about the CBS Radio Mystery Theater, Dave. It's really taken me back with some of these jingles are familiar. Some of them are regional, and no, I don't know them because they're not
right
from Cleveland. But but even the charm of them, even if you know what I mean, it is from a different area. You still get the feel of the charm of it all.
Oh yeah,
and the period.
And
it's really cool.
And we have these because the CBS Radio Mystery Theater was saved by the fans of the show who started recording them and sharing them and collecting them to the point now where there are entire collections available for everybody throughout the internet if you're inclined to download that many episodes. This is a show that was saved by the fans. And many of them left the commercials and things like that. Now, when I recorded on the cassette, I used a 90-minute cassette. Because in that 45 minutes, I could get an entire story and like one commercial of the three inside, you know, each break. And so with all that, it came down to 45 minutes with one commercial and the entire story in open and close. So.
Nice. And I bet others found that same, you know, relationship to this tapes and what have you.
I have a friend of mine, he had a paper route for the Beacon Journal, so he could record. But what he did is he had an 8-track. His family did not have TV. His father and mother did not believe in corrupting their minds with television. So he was allowed to listen to as much radio as he wanted, like that wasn't corrupting.
Yeah.
But anyway, what he did, he had an 8-track recorder, and he would just go out and buy tons and tons of 8-track tapes and record them on the 8-track. It's just really cool. So,
smart cookie.
Till the point where the internet opened up and people started sharing their collections there, he had more episodes than anyone else I knew.
That is really cool, and we owe so, so much to, like you said, Dave, to all those collectors, all those listeners from back then, so that we still have them archived.
Yeah.
And we're bringing a bunch of them to you. We love bringing them on Saturday nights. They fit our format so well for Saturday.
They do.
Time-wise and everything else. So glad you're here with us enjoying it, and we probably will have a little bonus time at the end to fly
around
leave you at the bottom of the sea and see what we can dig up as far as radio treasures.
Segway King!
Yeah, maybe not. But,
or as the goat would say, or as the goat would say, yep, there you go.
Which is goatees for, here's part 3 of CBS Radio Mystery Theater, the conclusion of Ruptures of the Deep.
Ruptures.
The lost island of Atlantis was first mentioned by Plato, the Greek philosopher. Later in the first century before Christ, Solon, the father of law, reported that he was told of it by an Egyptian priest who said that it had been overwhelmed by an earthquake or a shifting in the world's crust, that it had sunk in the sea 9,000 years before his time. This is only one of many legends of the lost Atlantis, including the one you are listening to in my present report.
I remember being propelled by the strange creatures through a thick, waving forest of kelp. The great undulating trunks, perhaps some 2 to 3 feet across, and reaching up from the ocean bed into infinity. From then on, everything was blank, until Ariadne woke me up.
You can come out of the cylinder with me now, Stephanos.
Where are we?
On the floor of the ocean.
Oh, no. No, Ariadne, I have no air. I can't breathe.
You will have air.
How? Did you fill my tanks?
No need of that. You will be able to breathe now.
No, no, you don't understand. I can't breathe underwater like you people.
Oh, but halfways like me can only breathe for a limited time. Only the androcytes are adapted fully to breathe underwater.
The androcytes? The men fish?
You see, they are no longer here.
Where is here?
In the home place. The island under the sea.
Through the transparent sides of the cylinder, and I couldn't believe it. A whole city covered the top of this giant floating island on the floor of the ocean. People were walking freely, chatting. The women dressed in flowing garments, the men in kilted skirts, their feet in sandals. I was back in the midst of a civilization older than Christianity and the Romans. Heaven only knows how many thousands of feet below the surface of the Atlantic. Ariadne now took me by the hand, and together we slipped out of the door that served as entrance or egress from the cylinder.
Don't look so terrified, Stephanos. There's plenty of oxygen. Try.
Hey. Well, all right. That's beautiful, but where does it come from?
I will let Minocles give what answers he deems proper to your questions.
Who is Minocles?
He is the ruler, the autocrat, the only one of which there is but one. Come, we must make haste. It is not good to keep him waiting. I have brought the outsider, Minocles, as you commanded.
Bring him forward, that we may talk. Welcome to Atlantis. What is his name?
Stephanos.
He is Greek. I know of Greece. You came in your ships and we sank them.
When was this, sir?
Time for us is different than it is for you. In your terms, let us say in centuries, perhaps 12,000 of them ago.
12,000?
More or less. Before the sea closed the waters of its doors above our heads and we became the lost Atlantis.
What happened, sir?
You may call me Minocles. I do not know this other word.
Was it an earthquake?
At the end, yes. A convulsion of the earth that plunged us forever beneath the water.
But how could you have lived?
We had our warnings. Oh, yes, we were warned.
How?
In the second passage of the seasons after I was named as autocrat, two significant discoveries were made which were to preserve us even in the face of disaster. One was that our island had begun to sink slowly, and that our civilization was doomed unless we could prepare to adapt. Come with me. Once I could look from these heights across Atlantis to the sun setting on a sea that stretched beyond the wall about our island.
The wall?
You see? Stone piled on stone and sealed stone to stone to shut out the encroaching waters.
Like Holland and the dikes.
What do you say?
Just another people who had to shut out the sea.
Like us?
No, not like you. They never sank into it. What did you do when that happened?
First the wall, and then the dome.
I don't understand.
Look up, Stephanos. From the top of the wall, arching above us, we are sealed in one huge envelope.
A giant sort of plastic bubble. You live in the opposite of a goldfish bowl.
A world of our own.
Within this protected area, we manufacture the breath of life.
How?
By pumps, which extract the oxygen from the sea, very much as fish gills do.
But how long did this take to build?
We had 1,000 times the wheeling of the seasons.
1,000 years?
Long enough to be ready for the convulsion that cast us to the bottom of the sea.
How do you live? What do you feed yourselves?
We had to adapt a breed, a phylum, which could cultivate our sea farms outside the protection of this, what you call, bubble.
The androcyte.
Exactly. Simply a matter of selective breeding to reverse the process of man's rise to land from the mother sea.
You mean they breathe like fish through gills and no longer can sustain life on air?
Exactly.
But why would they work for you? Couldn't they abandon you and make their own state?
No.
Why?
Because they cannot reproduce. The secret of parthenogenesis. No man or woman or creature that you have encountered in our society was born. He She, it, was created spontaneously. The fabric built from some living cell taken from another.
Cloning?
What is that word?
Well, it means taking a cell from any given body, man or woman, then introducing it into the ova of a woman from whom part of the nucleus has been removed, and producing, after full term, a mirror image of the person from whom the cell was taken.
Substantially correct.
But that's a recent discovery.
In your world, perhaps. It was a technique we perfected nearly 600 generations ago. You must learn to live with it.
What does that mean?
You are a fresh impetus for us. You bring new ideas and knowledge of wider horizons. Since you are to be with us, we must have you duplicated as soon as possible.
My protests were waved away by the imperious Minocles. And in spite of Ariadne's attempts to calm me down, I was finally dragged away by a swarm of guards. The prison room in which I was confined was classic. And its dampness worried me because it brought back too vividly the immense pressure of the sea all about this relatively tiny bubble of air in the midst of the vast oceans of the sea. I don't know how she managed it, but Ariadne came to me. Ariadne.
Shh, not so loud.
How did you get here?
I have privileges. I am a halfway, but there is royal blood in my veins.
What are we going to do?
Do?
I can't fit in here. How can I?
You can. After the operation tomorrow, you will go to adaptation training and become a halfway like me. And you will be reproduced.
What operation?
To sterilize you.
To what? I won't let them.
But why not? If you are to be among us, we cannot have someone who can reproduce at will. It would tear apart the whole fabric of our lives.
I don't want to do that. I can't be part of what you are, Ariadne.
What else can you do?
I can go back. Back where I came from.
The autocrat would never allow you to do that.
Then you must help me escape.
How? It is impossible. You are not adapted. How could you breathe long enough out there?
Fill my tanks with enough air.
But you could not stand the pressures.
Then we'll have to steal a cylinder like the one you brought me here in.
Impossible. Even if I did, the androcytes would capture us. And we have no way to move it.
You say you are adapted. You could move us up high enough so that I could come out safely.
There is only one chance. I must help you escape.
The details of the escape don't matter. Somehow we got away and started up towards the surface. And we're lucky enough, for Ariadne was smart enough, that we didn't encounter any of the fishmen. Unerringly, she led me back to the spot I had left. How long ago? And there was my weighted rope, its knots climbing towards the surface and my world. I had my arm about her waist, but suddenly she squirmed free, and she spoke to me, while I was helpless to answer.
Goodbye, Stephanos. I wish I had been born as you were, but we are from different worlds, and there is no bridge between them. Only let me say one thing. I have something to take away with me which makes me different. Makes me an individual in a world where such a thing does not exist. I am glad I knew that, even if only briefly. Goodbye, Stephanos.
She darted away from me so fast I couldn't follow. Her loose robes billowing like a flower. I couldn't have followed her anyway, because suddenly the androcytes were all about seizing her and dragging her down. Some of them came for me, and I had no choice but to drop my heavily weighted belt and shoot to the surface in a haze of bubbles, exploded out of the ocean as if I'd been a champagne cork.
Cab! Cab! There he is! It's Steve!
He came up without being decompressed.
Get that chamber ready.
Oh.
Okay, Steve. Take it easy.
No. No, I've got to follow her. To save...
Where am I?
You're in the hospital, Steve. And I'm your buddy, Cobb Straker. And you just about copped it, friend.
I've got to get back. I got to get back.
Steve, you ain't going nowhere. Not if I have to sit on you till you come out of all of this.
But Ariadne.
The dame, sure. Lost Atlantis, sure. You got to be kidding, man. Steve, sooner or later, you've got to face up to it. You zonked out down there. You were narked.
The raptures of the deep.
You said it, Steve, not me. But that's all it was.
It's what I've had to settle for. Leave it at that or end in a funny farm. But the memory of it, and of a girl named Ariadne, her hair and her loose garments stirred by the water as if they were the petals of a sea flower, will haunt me all my life. We never did find J. Calvin Hunter's treasure, but I found my own. I only wish I could have kept it.
Unforgettable story, which I find haunts me too. Not only the girl, but that strange and beautiful city-state that Steve also imagined or visited briefly. The legend of Atlantis dies hard. Could one imagine that it still does exist, buried somewhere so deep in the Atlantic East Trough that man has as yet no way to find the way there? I'll be back shortly.
Did you know that Goodyear services cars?
I didn't know that.
Lots of people don't. Say Goodyear, they'll say tires almost every time.
Good for them.
Yeah, well, how do we tell them Goodyear services cars?
Why don't we tell them about the limited warranty?
The what?
Tell everyone that if you get your car serviced at Goodyear,
yeah,
the service and parts are backed by Goodyear with a warranty good for 90 days or 3,000 miles.
Well, which?
Whichever comes first.
Oh.
And if the work isn't done right,
yeah,
and you're more than 50 miles from where you got it serviced, you can take your car to any of over 1,500 Goodyear service stores,
yeah,
and they'll redo it at no charge.
So that's a great deal.
Yep.
Look, I thought you said you didn't know Goodyear services cars.
I didn't. I must have read it somewhere.
Well, where would you read that?
Probably my warranty.
Oh, yeah.
Smooth out your rough-running engine with a tune-up at your Goodyear service store for just $39.88 for six-cylinder cars. Includes new points, plugs, rotor, and condenser. No extra charge for air conditioning or labor. Call for an appointment now. Price is slightly higher in California.
Quite recently, I read that Steve and Cobb had traced the drifting of a long-sunk Spanish galleon, and that all along the path had come up with gold and artifacts worth a king's ransom. I'm glad Steve struck it rich. I hope he enjoys his hard-bought wealth. I wonder if he would exchange it for that other treasure he found, or thought he found. Our cast included Michael Tolan, Catherine Byers, Ray Owens, and Sam Gray. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Nobody believes the Prophet of Doom. Your people. They don't want to stop me and Ivora from taking over the Earth.
That's because they don't know any better. But I do.
And therefore, you have decided to stop me.
How did you know?
Well, it's true, isn't it?
Yes.
You're going to kill me.
I have to kill you.
They won't believe the reason. You know that.
I know that.
You'll spend the rest of your life in an insane asylum.
I'd be doing that anyhow. So I got myself a gun.
A gun?
This one here.
I see. You're going to kill me.
Oh, it's nothing personal. It isn't because I hate you. I don't hate anyone. But I have to kill you.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Macabre.
CBS News follows on WBBM.
How low can your oboe go? That's what I want to know.
Depends. If you put it in the water, it can go lower.
Speaking
of lower.
Yep.
We can, I guess, perhaps maybe learn something from this. Maybe. I doubt, but maybe.
Well, yeah, I would imagine if we thought really, really hard and scrolled a little faster, we could learn something. House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story.
With apologies to Gar, never ever go hunting for the lost city of Atlantis. Because if you don't find it, everyone will make fun of you. And if you do find it, everyone will make fun of you. It is a no-win situation. Just don't do it. There you go. Exactly.
I feel
everyone
better.
Wash your hands.
Yes. Yes. Always wash your hands.
Hey, I'm going to post something in the chat right here. Last Tuesday when Weirdness Really Bad Movie was showing on The Vortex, our friends in Vortex, I found out that one of the regulars there, the Horror Stream Live, he had done a little bit on the Weirdness Really Bad Movie. I thought it was kind of cool. I just thought I would post
it
up there to share.
Oh, I
got to
check
so,
that out.
Yeah, so it's a cool little thing. And so it's there. You'll have to copy and paste it into your web address if you
want
to catch
that. That's what I'm
doing
right now.
And so there you go. And
Look at that. Really?
Oh, wait. We still have, while you're looking at that, we have the opportunity. Yeah, it's a nice little video that goes with it as well. Okay. We have one more tale, true tale of lost treasure in the water from robishly.com. Spanish ship in the Florida Keys in 1622. The square in the golden age of Spanish treasure ships. They pluck goods from the exploited and rapidly dying indigenous persons in the New World. See, it's called them Indians. And hightail the spoils back to Europe. But tragedy struck the Nostra Senora de Atacha. Yeah, right. That year, I apologize, when a hurricane tossed the vessel to the bottom of the sea. Right where we are in that sea view there in our picture there. All right. The Spanish tried to recover the lost copper, silver, gold, tobacco, and gems from the, I think it would be awful soggy cigarettes. Anyway, and gems from the ship, but they couldn't do it. You know who could? A 1980s treasure hunter extraordinaire, Mel Fisher. After years of searching, Fisher located the bounty in 1985, and boy, was it a honey. Workers have recovered an estimated $450 million worth of goods since then, and divers continue to find lucrative and little knickknacks from the vessel. There you go.
Who knew? Who knew?
Well, Mel knew, apparently. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Hey, we got a little time left, don't we?
We do! We do. Wherever shall we go to do what something or other?
We could start with the wheel.
We could do that.
Wheel of Radio. Turn, turn, turn. Tell us the lesson that we must learn.
Around, around she goes, and where she's got, nobody knows.
Let's hope it's Willard.
I believe.
poor man to believe. Poor man, bad old man, Moses said.
And now Bob Hope brings you his interpretation of that song favorite, Old Man Mose. The theme, A Lonely Country Road.
Say, good one. I don't like to complain, but it was a silly idea to wrap our lunch in a road map. I have a TL for you. I think we're lost.
Now listen, Bob, we are not lost. I've been following Route 88 on the map for the last half hour.
Just as I thought, that isn't Route 88, that's a piece of spaghetti. Well, what if we are lost? This is wonderful, riding along in the great outdoors. I feel like a king. I just abdicated. You know, I knew I should never have gotten into this camp carefree on wheels.
Listen, you didn't call it that when you sold it to me.
Well, things could be worse. At least here we are in the bright California sunshine. Here we are in the bright California sunshine.
Bob, don't look now, but the sunshine is leaking through the roof.
Gee, Bill, it's pouring cats and dogs.
Bob, I think we're stuck in the mud.
Yeah, step out and take a look, Bill. You're wearing high-button shoes.
Hey, we're in luck. Here comes somebody down the road. Maybe he can tell us where we can get shelter.
I'll talk to him. Hello, young fella.
Hello.
Well, Glucose Fripp, what are you doing around here?
I'm a traveling salesman, and I'm doing pretty well. I sell all day, and I sell all night. Boy, do I sell.
Well, what are you selling, Glucky?
Oh, I'm selling stuff.
Yeah, what kind of stuff?
Oh, just stuff.
Yeah, but what kind of stuff are you selling today?
Mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes? Who buys mosquitoes?
Nobody.
Then why do you sell them?
Because there ain't no competition.
But you can't make any money.
I know it. Last week I didn't even make $5, which is pretty good even for me not to make.
If you're real careful, you'll just about not be able to make a living.
That's the way I figure. Besides, it takes my mind off my worries.
What have you got to worry about?
Oh, all kinds of stuff.
So we're back to that again. Look, Lukey, we want shelter. Don't you want to get dry?
Nope.
Why not?
I'm dopey.
You're dopey. Well, I'm Snow White.
Gee, you sure are pretty.
Look, never mind the flattery. Are there any houses around here?
Yep.
Can you show us where?
Yep. But it won't.
Why not?
I'm no stool pigeon.
Bob, never mind. There's a house right over there.
Yeah, but it's haunted.
Hey, come on. I like him better that way.
Yeah. Come on, Bob. That's the house right over there.
This is a pleasant little place, Goodwin. It looks like Tobacco Road with a hangover.
Don't be frightened, Bob. Ring the bell.
All right. Number 6 in the hit parade.
Oh, gosh, Bob. Look at that face staring through the window.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Bill, but I think death just took another holiday. Oh, hello, lady.
Sorry, we don't want any more bodies.
But look, lady, we're just whacked. We're not dead.
What are your bets?
Well, who are you?
During the night, I'm the housekeeper here.
Yeah, well, what do you do during the day?
I model shrouds.
Well, can you take care of us for the night?
We'll take care of you all right. Follow me.
Wow. Look at all those white hammocks over there in the corner.
Hammocks, those are cobwebs. Brace up, Bill. What are we, mice or men?
Well, I don't know about you, Bob, but I could certainly go for a nice piece of cheese right now.
Are you the Bob Hope of the radio?
Why, yes. How did you know?
I know everybody who haunts houses.
Oh. nice, cheery place. This is going to be as gay as a weekend at the morgue. Oh, just listen to that laugh.
Yeah, I wish you were coming from the audience.
Say, miss, are there really ghosts in here?
Ghosts? That's not the laundry you see up there.
Up where? Oh, Bill, Bill, Bill!
Bill isn't here.
Well, who are you?
Just a ghost.
A ghost? But I don't see you. Where's your white sheet?
Shh. I'm a nudist.
Say, Bill, where are you?
Here, Bob. Are you all right?
Yeah, but these ceilings are awfully low.
Well, they'll be okay after your hair lays down.
Say, miss, do a lot of people stop off here?
Oh, yes. Marie Antoinette came here one night, and we just talked our heads off.
Oh, well, that's fine. What's the matter?
I'm getting a message from the spirit world.
What do they say?
They'll give you Duke and 7 points.
I'll take it.
Attention all ghosts. Attention all ghosts. Better put on your rubber sheets. It's raining.
Bob, look at that ghost over there. He's jumping up and down.
What's that?
He's jumping up and down.
He's probably got ants in his sheet.
Bob Hope?
Yes?
I think I'll come over there and tear you to pieces and then jump on you and just stamp on your nose.
Say, who is this?
Oh, just a monster.
Wait a minute, a monster?
Oh, yes, didn't you know? The devil is a sissy.
Frankenstein is going to finishing school. Come in.
Do you have ghosts here?
Yes, we have.
Well, if my father comes in, hang on to him, will you? I've been looking for him for 300 years.
Who are you?
Hamlet.
Say, what goes on around here? What's the matter, hatchet face?
The phantom is coming. Listen.
Greetings, Gate. Let's evaporate. Say, Bill. Bill, I can see right through him.
Ah, yes, Gate. The ghost is clear.
Are you really a ghost? An honest-to-goodness specter?
Yes, Knave. And you didn't expect to inspect the specter, did you, Inspector?
I can understand why you didn't live long.
Mine was a short life, but a merry one. At an early age, I moved to a metropolis, and life began. Ah, Metropolitan Life. Can I interest you with some life insurance?
Look, are you the only ghost in your family?
Ah, no. My sister was a skeleton in the closet.
Sort of a chambermaid to Mars.
Yes, indeed. My entire family was very interested in spiritualism. In fact, as my father was very fond of spirits, once said, quote, unquote.
Say, ghost. Would you mind telling me how you haunt a house?
It's very simple. First, you hide in the closet. Then you put your hand out slowly, like this, and grab a throat. Then you squeeze tighter and tighter. Hey, I'm talking myself to this.
Can I help you, Master?
Who are you?
I'm the former Miss Fitch, the Wichita Witch.
Ah, yes, you have a twin sister. I can never tell which witch is which.
Well, I've got loads of money. I'm the rich witch.
That sounds to me like a switch, witch.
And this sounds to me like something I'm sorry I started. Say, I'm getting out of here.
Not so fast, Gate. Ah, the clock strikes 12. As it strikes, you shall all disappear one by one.
Bob, can he do that, Doug?
Of course not, Bill.
I'll start on that facsimile of a man over there.
Who, me?
Yes, that pair of thieves surrounded by commercials. Mumbo jumbo, disappear.
So long, Goodwin.
It's a chilling experience, I tell you. Eerie, isn't it? Eerie, eerie. Help, I'm in Pennsylvania. Ah, and now the former Miss Fitch disappears. Farewell, my bewitching beauty.
So long, kid.
So long, Fitchy.
And now for you.
Hey, wait a minute, Phantom. You can't make me disappear.
Why not?
You realize that if I disappear, America will be deprived of the Pepsodent show?
Ah, yes. You're welcome, America.
Don't forget, in about 5 minutes from right now, you got to get on over to the Twitches and catch Portable Hunters, not even Gar the Ghoul. That's
yep.
Coming up at 8 o'clock Eastern.
So what's happening next week, Dale?
All kinds of things on, all at 6:30 Eastern, okay? Thursday, Oct the 27th, Terror Tunes. We're going to have some music. Songs, music from movies, trivia, all kinds of fun. That's Thursday night. Friday, you're invited to not one, not two, but three, count them, three Halloween parties. And those parties
Woo-hoo!
Are going to be with, let's see, Archie Andrews, the Great Gildersleeve, and Charlotte Greenwood, which Dave has probably done some research on. Maybe not. Who knows?
I'll have
Friday
to, yeah,
night.
That's for sure.
One of us will. Maybe. Saturday, it's all Edgar Allan Poe, E.A. Poe, Saturday night, including a rarely heard adaptation of Telltale Heart with Bela Lugosi. Yeah, and then Sunday, Oct the 30th. Oh, what do we do every year, Oct the 30th? War of the Worlds, and yet another new adaptation. Dave, you want to tease him with anything about that?
Paul Savino and Captain Kirk, William Shatner.
That's right.
How's that?
Billy Shatner going to be here on Sunday. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, he drives off the Martians by singing Rocket Man. Dave, I think you said you were a fan of Animaniacs.
Yes, yes.
Did you ever see the one where the Animaniacs meet William Shatner, like he's hogging the karaoke machine or something like that? And of course they go,
oh, probably, but I don't remember it. Was that actually William Shatner's voice on there, or was there somebody doing William Shatner?
Probably someone doing William Shatner.
Ah,
but
yeah.
It was still very, very funny. As he sang karaoke, they were doing the same kind of segues they did when he did the original Rocket Man on TV.
Yeah.
That's awful.
When that was one of the few Steven Spielberg's successful television entries there.
Yeah,
Animaniacs. That and Amazing Stories, which lasted two seasons. They always accused that show of eating up all the Bill Cosby profits. But hey, I go on Roku on the NBC channel.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch those Amazing Stories again. And I really
they have them on the
how...
Sci-Fi channel on Roku too, and I watch them too.
Oh, do they?
Dave, okay. I love those.
Yep, yep. One of my favorite ones was maybe one of the last things that Sid Caesar did.
Yeah,
absolutely, very heartwarming story.
That's the one where he's a magician, right?
Where he's an aging magician. Yeah.
Yeah.
And finds an old deck of cards, and
yep.
We're going to leave it with that. So all you people in Roku, get out there and catch either on Sci-Fi Channel or on NBC app, Roku app. Either way, you can watch it free right there. Got to watch that one.
Yeah,
so
if
many
you have
good
not
tales.
Seen, the series as a whole is really good, too. If you've never seen Steven Spielberg's Amazing Stories, you need to. There's one of my favorite comical ones, of course, Dave, I've mentioned many times here, is Mummy Daddy.
Yeah. And I rewatched the hour-long one with Christopher Lloyd, one that was aired around Halloween in the second season, a full hour version.
Yep.
They had it in two parts, I think, when they originally aired it, but it was a full hour.
And there's even one with John Astin. Check them all out on them there, Rokus.
Yep.
We'll see you Thursday night at 6:30 Eastern.
The castle lights are growing dim.
Reaver, too.
There's no one left but me and him.
And just him.
When next we meet in Frankenstone,
Mr. Lone.
Don't come alone.
We're so lonely.
Can you dig it?
I can dig it.
We got nobody. Oh, boy.
It's a picture
just came across on my history, on my Facebook page, my personal one.
Yep.
And it's you and me and Mike McGrainer and Mike Mace. And Tar and Feather, and of course, the great
Fritz Nightowl. Yeah,
Fritz the man.
Yep. I hear you're being attacked.
I am. Mighty Joe Young is throwing his weight against me. I don't know what his deal is.
Watch, you can break your leg. You can be
careful.
You're
fed. You're cleaned. You're watered. There's nothing else you need. You're a cat.
Wow. I can't believe I ever heard of this or paid any attention to the Charlotte Greenwood show. It was on for at least about 3 years or so. It was a situation comedy.
Yeah, and that was kind of the earlier days of radio, no?
Actually, this one actually is in 44 of some episodes. Let me see. Let me go.
That's a crappy version I have, but yeah.
Really?
It was on, Gar sent that to us with Hagel's Horrible Horrors, and I noticed there were three of them with a Halloween party story, or title, and I'm like, okay, so there's one of our nights. Let's have three parties. Let's go to three parties.
Let's do that. Oh, wait, that isn't what I wanted. Let me see. Oh, there we are.
All stuff we've never played before, so. I checked my list. Checked it twice. Find out who's
looking
in the audience.
Here.
Nice.
Wow.
Why my
headset
aren't working on Blog Talk?
They don't have half that on the archive.org. I was looking to see if they had a better one there for you, but they don't.
It's not horrible. It's not horrible. It's listenable.
Listenable. Yeah, the ones that are here from 1944 to, there are more pages. But wait. There are 44 pages here. Four pages. Stop it.
It's a little different than 44 pages.
A little different than 44. What the heck?
Why would my headset just not work on Blog Talk? They work on my computer. They work everywhere else.
What's that?
Stop it, you beast. You foul creature. The cat's nibbling on cords, which he normally never does.
Oh, yeah. Get that springy sound there.
Whenever you have occasion to send a card, remember a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste.
Yeah, it's going to need a little bit of cleaning. It's going to take a little bit of cleaning there.
Well, I've already got it chopped into two parts, but if you give me cleaner ones, fine. If not, I will make it fly. We'll make it work.
Okie doke. I mean, I'm going to download just a toy with it a bit.
It's up to you. I like giving you the holiday off. It's a holiday off of work for me and a holiday off of programming for you.
So we'll see if we can tinker with it just a bit.
I think I have another block to edit, too. One more music block.
Ah.
Not too many people are going to hear beforehand, listening in the archive. We'll have a little sneak preview. I'll keep it generic.
Keep it generic.
Music blocks. All right, so we got two of them that are older tunes, like old-time radio era tunes.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a block of, three of them, actually, of older tunes. Three novelty tunes. There's a block of those. And what else did I have?
Hey, you should have a block of Erie House tunes. Woohoo!
Oh, stop. We want people to...
Yeah! Yeah!
And between each block, we'll have old-time... we'll have some movie themes and see if you folks can guess some of them.
Yep.
Yep.
Better Hope CW is here if you wanted to guess those. So.
And yet another new intro. We had a new intro today. The Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea thing.
Yes. Yep, that was fun.
And then we'll have some new ones for Halloween. And what else we got? Might play a song that I've played probably 3 or 4 times in the 6 years or so we've been working together, Dave. But it might be time for the Festival of the New Wine.
Okay.
I just love that. Festival of the New Wine. But yeah, I've got some good ones. I want to see if, let's see, that'll be Thursday night. Who knows who'll show up? Maybe we'll get CW and Gar. Ooh.
You never know.
Never know.
I know that good old Bob is planning on being here. As he left in the message, thanks for the show. See you Thursday, is what good old Bob said.
Thank you, good old Bob. Thank you, Fogsbane. My God, he's been with us from the beginning.
Yes, he has.
You know,
Very early on.
I could probably count on one or two hands how many shows he had to miss.
And he went back in and listened to them later, so yeah.
Yeah. You know, we all have real lives, so, hey, stuff happens. Some of us have to work tonight.
Yes, we do. Some of us do.
Yeah, poor CW. We miss you, girl. But, yeah, Halloween's all set up.
Just like on Fridays, it's always a little bit better when Gar is here.
Yes. It's insane. Good times. I'm gonna enjoy the music show. I always do. We've only had what 3 or 4 of them so far that are just like all music shows.
Yeah, yeah.
But there could be more. There could be more.
Well, we shall see what we shall see. What yep. we shall see.
Yep. But. On that note.
Well, with that note, perhaps we should shut off the house lights, turn on the 3 spotlights, and then in the middle spotlight steps the one, the only, are you scrolled there? Mr.
Yeah.
Jimmy Durante.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say good night.
I hope my headsets work next week.
Good luck.
Getting a cramp.
What more to say but good night?
My left arm wasn't there.
We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo.
Toodaloo.
Horrible, what we the same, and incognito.
Begun to good night.
Good night.
Good night already.
Good night, folks.
And
good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
Do you mind signing off the radio?